Checking if I'm on, there we go. It's good, again, to be able to take time to stop and take time to sit together and worship together and gather around the Word and sing together. And I just can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. It just excites me so much for looking into what God has for the future for us. And when we can get together, or when we're removed from the sin of this world and all the pain and suffering of this world, can you imagine what for rejoicing and celebration that's going to be? Good. It'll be good. Way beyond your imagination. Thank you for allowing Karen and I to take a couple, or take a week, two Sundays away, but we took a week and went to Sarasota, Florida, and did nothing but eat and fish. So we did a few other things, but that's primarily what it consisted of. And also was able to tap into the sermons we were driving on the first Sunday that we were gone, when Eric shared on the 63 Confession of Faith as we drove through Virginia. And so got to tap into that and listen to that. And then also on the way home again, we were driving and was able to listen to Andrew's sermon and just really affirm the brothers and what they have shared in the last 2 weeks. And just a quick note on Andrew's sermon last Sunday. I walked in, we were driving and we had to make a rest stop, and I had my Bluetooth on, was listening to the sermon on my phone, and I walked into the restroom there at the rest area and went into a stall. And that was when Andrew was talking about it being somewhat ominous to wake up to an 11-pound cat walking across your pillow. And it just struck me so funny. I was in there laughing, and I'm sure the people, I just waited a while till I came out, so I didn't. But just the week prior to that, I woke up one night with Louie here sniffing my eyeball. And, you know, I could identify with it. And so thank you, Eric, or thank you, Andrew, for that, and Eric, for your contribution in those sermons. This morning, again, as I thought about and felt like God was leading me in the whole concept of one anothering, and what does that mean? What does it look like? And I told you I wasn't going to preach through all the one anothers that I shared a couple weeks ago, but it seems like it keeps coming up. And so this morning again is another one of those. And you can turn with me to Ephesians 4, verses 16 through 25. Ephesians 4, 16 through 25. And I'm just encouraged again, as Andrew shared, when we sat down this week for covenant signing and just the affirmation for fellowship, the affirmation of wanting to be a body and wanting to be part of the body that is gathered together here at New Covenant. Let me just read this here scripture, then we'll have a picture come up on the overhead here. I think we'll check that out. Ephesians 4, 16 through 25, it says this: "For whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Now, there's a whole mouthful in that one verse that we could meditate on and we could spend a lot of time on, but not going to this morning. We're going to continue to move on, but just drawing our attention to the fact that we are a body and that all the parts work together to the honor and glory of God. And so verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." So he's calling us to the fact that we have now been saved, and we're a body. We're members one of another, and no more should we, in this verse, we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They are ignorant because of the blindness of their heart. Catch that there? Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. That's why they're ignorant, because of the blindness of their heart. They cannot receive truth. They cannot make it part of them. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, Christ, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct and the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And I'm going to stop there for the moment and just talk a little bit about this whole part, this whole thing of being part of the body. And I titled the message, and it's maybe I better just go ahead and read verse 25. Therefore, it says, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are what? We are members one of another. So what are we supposed to put away? We're supposed to put away lying and be truthful with each other. As it relates to, and I titled the message, put away lying, and I thought about a fish that I caught a couple years ago down at Lido there in Florida, and it's called a blowfish. And when you think about lying, you think about the concept of lying, it is puffing, it has the appearance of something that is not real, that is not true. And I thought about this blowfish. When you catch a blowfish, they look like a normal fish, but then you take them out of the water and they huff and they puff and they blow themselves up until they look like something they're not. They're not truthful. They're being dishonest about what they are. But also what I discovered with a blowfish, their skin is really tough. So they're hard to get through to. It's hard to get into the core of a blowfish. And so when we look at this whole concept of lying, and I think about the blowfish and it making itself appear to be something it is not. It appears to be big. That's what happens when it's frightened or when it's in the face of an enemy. It blows itself up and it makes itself appear like it is really a big fish that's to be reckoned with when it's not. It's deception. It is putting on an appearance that it's not. And that really is the essence of what lying amounts to in its other than speaking lies is the whole idea of leading someone to believe something that is not true, intentionally deceiving. And I thought about this here, how the body is put together and how the body works together. And I talked about in the first sermon I shared on one anothering was the whole idea that when one part of the body hurts, you know, you smash your finger with a hammer, the other hand grabs it and you walk it off, your feet are involved, the whole body's involved when a finger gets hammered, okay, with a hammer. And so the whole idea comes around again as I thought about this here concept of how essential it is that in a body of believers, that we speak truth to one another. You say, Luke, why are we sharing this? Why are we talking about this morning? I'm not sure. God laid this on my heart to share this morning. And one of the things that helped to lead me there was as I thought about the political scene and all the things that are going on and what to believe and not what not to believe and the lies that are being spoken. And I believe today more than anything, we need to focus on truth. We need to focus on absorbing truth and speaking truth and being truthful. You see, I believe it's one of the works of the enemy is that he would have us to become just like the world. He is the father of lies. It is in him that lies are made. It is in him that if we find ourselves being deceitful or lying or speaking lies, it's a work of the enemy. That is the devil in his personality, is a liar, he's lying. And I thought about the body and how essential it is that the body is always truthful, okay? I was driving a triaxle for 8 years and hauling stone, and so I came out of the quarry. There was a quarry office there where you had to weigh in and you go in and get your ticket and come back out. Now they just have a window you pull up to, but I'll lay all that aside. But anyway, come running out of the office, and I made a flying leap to the top step of my Mack. It was the fuel tank had two steps on it, and I had this habit of just make a little leap and land on the top one and step in the seat, and away we go. I come out of the quarry office one day and leaped up for that first step, and my eyesight did not be truthful with me as to where my foot was going. And so it missed the top step, and my shins went right into the step. And so then the body got together and talked about that. It worked that thing out. I was speaking in tongues at that point, I guess. I don't know what it was. But the whole thing that my eyes lied to me, I guess, or my mind didn't perceive, or my foot didn't follow through. It was not true. Think about it. If you go to take a step and your foot doesn't follow through, your foot says, okay, so your mind is saying your foot is coming after, but it doesn't. Your mind lied to you. You're going to go flat on your face. Okay, so if I'm ever to take nourishment into my body, my hand has to go in with the spoon and take it to my mouth. But suppose my hand or my whatever is lying to me, and the food is not being put in my mouth, but my mind says it is, and you know, I will starve and waste away. That won't happen right away, but it's, you know, eventually it would. But so you see what I'm saying? If your eyes lie to you, if your foot lies to you, if your hand lies to you, think about if you had a sore on your foot and you can't see it, and some of us can't see our feet, but if you have a sore on your foot and it's not communicated to your brain for your hand to do something to take care of it, it's a lie. It needs to be taken care of. It needs to be ministered to. And if on the surface the foot looks good, if on the surface my hand looks good, but inside, on the surface, if it looks good, but inside there's something going on that is not good, that is not right, if it's not ministered to, if it's deceived, if it's covered up and it's not taken care of, then it becomes an issue to the whole body. Are you with me? So the sermon that I've prepared for you this morning is topical in nature. So I'm not going to take the time to go through this here verse by verse, but the primary verse and the reason for the sermon is the verse 25 that says, therefore, putting away lying, that is the first step as a new man, as a creature in Christ, as we are created in Christ Jesus and Christ's Spirit living in us. One of the first things that we need to do is put away lying, being truthful, not being deceitful about who we are, not speaking lies, but being truthful. Putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth. So not only in speaking with our mouths, but also in how we interact with each other. So you come here on a Sunday morning and someone steps up to you, meets you out here in the foyer and says, hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. And you know deep down inside you're not doing great. You know that there's a lot going on. You are hurting inside, or you are angry, or there is just so much that you know you're not doing great. There may be some physical thing that's going on. And I'm not saying that we have to just air everything with each other. Don't get that point, but let's be truthful. When someone says, how you're doing, how are you doing? Well, yeah, I could be better. And if that person's really interested, they'll say, well, tell me more. You see how the body works? How it works together? So we need to be truthful with each other. God's desire is that there's truth in the church. 1 Timothy 3:15 says this, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. The pillar and the ground of truth. Then I believe that it really is the heart of God, that as we fellowship together, as the church functions together, as we get along with each other, that we will be truthful with each other. God also desires truth in our worship. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and truth. He desires truth in our worship. So how many times do we come here on a Sunday morning that we stand here during a worship time and we're lifting up our hands and singing, but our heart or our mind is far from what we're doing? Did you ever have a conversation with somebody who is looking somewhere else and you say something to them And you know they just totally missed it. That's how it is when you and I stand before God in a time of worship and our minds are not connected. Our hearts are not connected. So he wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. And if there's something that I'm harboring in my heart, I need to be truthful with God and share it with him. And therein, I will find freedom to be able to worship truthfully. God desires truth in our speech. In Proverbs 12:19, it says this, "The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." Let me read that again. "The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." And all of us know here this morning that if we have been in contact with a person who habitually lies, what does it do to you? What does it do to you? You don't trust them. You can't trust them. And it's not only with the mouth that we lie, but we lie in our actions at times, being deceiving about who we are. And when someone lies, they're not trustworthy because it's not truthful. And so my challenge again this morning is that we be truthful in our speech. God desires truth in our fellowship. In Psalms 85:10-12, it says this, "Mercy and truth," and they go together. "Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. God's truth is eternal." God's truth is eternal. When we embrace truth, there are benefits from it. I believe what the benefits that we find in being truthful and being not lying, putting away lying to one another and being truthful with one another, one of the benefits is that we find favor with God and we find favor with man, and we are able to have good understanding with God, good understanding with men. Those are the things, those are the benefits that we find when we're truthful with each other, when we share the truth and we live the truth. Another verse in Proverbs 3:3-4 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. Shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Being honest, or better yet, being truthful and having a forgiving spirit benefits spiritually. It benefits us spiritually. One of the things that happens, I thought about this as we, you know, you say, "Well, Luke, why are you saying this?" Well, one of the first things, one of the first people or the first place that we often lie is we lie to ourselves. Isn't that true? Often a person who tells lies or who lives a lie is often untruthful with themselves. They tell themselves a lie. They believe things that are not true. And they have convinced themselves of things that are not true. They have convinced themselves of a lie. And I was reminded of my mother my mother was a Sansnik, okay? And so my last name is Martin, but my mother was a Sansnik. And my mother used to often say that the Sansniks have heavy bones. I say, "Yeah, right. Heavy bones." No, this comes from eating too much, not just heavy bones. You know, I mean, when I step on the scales after a week in Florida and it's 2 pounds higher, you know what was going on? Not my heavy bones. You know, I can't convince I'd like to convince myself it was my heavy bones, but, you know, if you can convince yourself, yeah, you got heavy bones, so I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to worry about taking any weight off. So it was kind of amusing me as I thought about it. Heavy bones, yes. That's what it is. So the Bible has so much to say about how that we become born again. We're adopted into the family of God. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus. We are new. And one of the distinct indications of a ungodly, unsaved person is lying. They're not truthful because they are children of the what? Father of lies. Children of their father. So we're adopted into the family. We're made part of the church. We become part of the church of God, but we also become part of the local church. And so in that, we become part of the family of God. And from this point on in Ephesians, it gives us how to walk. How to walk. After we've become born again, saved, part of the family of God, how are we to walk it out? How are we to live our lives? How are we to live in such a way that brings honor and glory to God? Let me remind you this. The basic truth of the Scriptures church is that salvation is not a get-out-of-hell-free card. Let me say that again. Let me remind you that salvation is not just a get-out-of-hell-free card. It is not the thing that we get just to get out of hell. Salvation is not just being free from eternal punishment. Salvation is not winning a free one-way ticket to heaven. No, salvation is Jesus saving us from our sins. And so God saved us, so out of that we are to live a certain way, right? It is not just character modification. It is truly that when we get saved, then we live different. And we live different because now the Spirit of Christ is dwelling in us and we are able to live different. The grace that God has given us is simply this, that now we can do what we could not do before. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if lying has become part of your life, it has become part of your habit, then there is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And you can find freedom. You can find the ability to walk and to live a life that is honoring to the glory of God and honoring to each other. And so he has made us salt and light and given us a new nature. It's not what saved us, that when what we have been saved and we are saved, now we live different, okay? And it doesn't come natural. The natural man, the old man, is still part of our being and still needs to be crucified every day, every day. And so that's the reason that I believe that we need to, again, take a look at the one anothering, and one of the most important thing is that we be honest with each other. If someone were to come to you, Mar, and ask you, how's a Christian supposed to live? What would you tell them? How's a Christian supposed to live? What would you tell them? I believe there's no better place than to take them right here to Ephesians and the rest of the scriptures, the verses which I'm not going to get into, but it gives a pretty good description of how we are to live after we are saved, okay? And my heart goes out to those this morning that have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I assure you this morning that God is calling you. He is reaching out to you. He wants nothing more. He wants nothing more. There is no greater lie than what Satan will provide for you, that in not being born again, not being saved, there's no greater lie than the fact that Satan will provide you that you're okay. Trust me, there is no greater lie than the one that Satan will provide is that you're okay. If you're here this morning and you have not been born again, if you're here this morning, you have not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If He is not your Lord and your Master, the end is eternal hell. Satan won't tell you that. The world won't tell you that. Nowhere on TV, nowhere on any kind of worldly provision will they tell you that the eternal consequences of an alcoholic, the eternal consequences of a drug addict, the eternal consequences of the sexually immoral, the eternal consequence, if not repented and not having accepted Jesus Christ, is eternal hell. So I want to make that offer this morning, that if there's anyone here who has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you know where you will spend eternity? Do you know when you die tonight? Or if you die tonight, if you close your eyes and never wake up again, where will you spend eternity? One of the assurances that I believe we have, I shouldn't say I believe, I know, with the interaction I had with Lydia Beiler, there was no question in anyone's mind who was Lord in her life. She lived her life in such a way that she gave honor and glory to God, and she spoke of it. And it was exemplified in her peace, in her just being at peace with God. And if you know all Lydia's story, it's not a... But what I'm saying is, do people see in you? Do people see the true Christ in you? When you die, when they lay you in that coffin and they pretty you up, will people be able to say, he or she was a child of God? Because he lived it, or she lived it. She wasn't deceptive. She lived it. She didn't appear to be somebody she was not. She lived out who she was. And I ask that question. Are you at that place this morning? Are you at that place? Are you being truthful? Are you being truthful? Is God calling you? Is he calling you this morning to put away the lying? To put away the deception? I ask you this morning again, when you practice life, when you interact with people, are you being truthful? Are you who you appear to be? Or when it's dark, when the lights are out, when the family's in bed and you're alone with your electronic device, are you being truthful? Are you who you appear to be? Or is that who you are? Is that who you are? I'm here to tell you guys again this morning, God offers freedom. He offers so much freedom. To you girls, to you ladies this morning, you don't have to expose your flesh to be attractive. The Bible says that you are attractive in the inner person. It's a lie from the pits of hell. And to you guys this morning, it's a lie from the pits of hell that you're going to be fulfilled in that viewing pornography. I'll say it. It's a lie from the pits of hell. It destroys people. It does not lift people up. It does not make people better. It makes them worse. It destroys the family. It destroys your relationships. It destroys the church. It destroys the country. It destroys our whole being. And ladies, you don't need to fall into that you feel like you have to be what those people are that are being showed on the pictures. It's a lie. It's lies. And I ask you, are you being true about who you are? Because you don't find freedom until you have truth with yourself. God offers... In Ephesians 4:25, wherefore put away lying. Put it away. Put it away and speak truth to one another. Because you're not only affecting yourself, you're not only affecting your family, but you're affecting the body of Christ. You can't take a hatchet and whack away at your foot and it doesn't affect the rest of the body. You can't do that. See, when you take the hatchet and you whack away at your foot, it affects the rest of the body. It gets gangrene, and after a while it moves to your heart and it'll kill you. It'll destroy the body if you're whacking off toes. Pretty graphic, I know it is, but it is graphic. What is worse, destroying the physical body or destroying the spiritual body? In fact, the Bible says it'd be better that you cut off whatever it is that's offending you. And you might think of all things in this list. Why lying? Why lying? It's where it starts. And you think about it. Go back to where the first sin happened. What was it? It was based on a lie. It was based on Satan coming to Eve and saying to Eve that you're going to know truth. You're going to know life. God doesn't have your best interests in mind. And then he poses the question to Eve, hath God really said? Hath God said? And I'm here to tell you this morning, Satan is still proposing that same lie to people all around the world and within the church. Hath God said? And it opens the mind and the heart up to begin to question what God has said. And it all comes from the liar, from the one who is the father of lies. Why would we believe when we say, is the scripture really saying what it's saying? I believe that we are to study the word of God and know the truth of the word of God. No question in my mind. But when the scriptures are clearly written and there's someone coming to you and saying, is this really so? Do you really think that that's right? Do you think that that's really the word of God? Do you think that's how he feels? It's straight from the pits of hell. It is straight from the pits of hell. It is a lie. And I was just amused again this morning with the devotional from Truth for Life, which is Alistair Begg's devotional. And I'll just share with you the scripture that it's based on is Hebrews 3:5, and it takes a quote out of Hebrews 3:5. And the quote is this: for he has said. For he has said. And when we live life, with the understanding and the knowledge that for he has said, yes, it is wrong. Yes, there is an absolute in life. And yes, there are lies being told. And no, Satan does not come with a pitchfork and horns that you will recognize. He comes as an angel of light speaking truth. Speaking what appears to be truth. And deceiving people's hearts, deceiving their minds, and deceiving them to the point of the destruction of the spiritual being. Can you think of any more sobering destruction or deception than our being? And it says this: if we could only grasp these words by faith, we have an all-conquering weapon in our hand. What doubt will not be slain by this two-edged sword that he has said? He has said, and he means what he said. And there are no back doors into heaven. It is through Jesus Christ and him alone. He hath said. And whatever lie the enemy might be putting in your mind, he hath said. Yes, he did say it. In answer to Satan's question to Eve, yes, he did say it. First Timothy 1-9-10 says this: knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there are any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, you see, there is a place that is prepared for liars. There's a place that is prepared, and liars and perjured persons are lost persons. In Revelation 21, it says this: but the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's pretty sobering. And I believe that God is calling us, and again, it is through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it's through accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you can live truthfully and not be a liar. All liars. All liars. Like I said, the original sin was a lie, and it is all liars. We think of the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and I'm not going to read it, but just quickly go over it. And we all know the story of how this went down, where Ananias and Sapphira agreed together to deceive. Did they tell an outright lie? No, what they told was that they had sold their land for such and such an amount. That was true? That kind of sounds like something we may do. It was a partial truth. But here's the kicker. They agreed together to deceive. They agreed together to deceive. And we all know the story that when Ananias came in to the disciples and they said, "Have you sold your land for so much?" And they said, "Yes, we sold it for so much." And they presented a different amount. Peter saw right through it and he said, "Today, you're going to be held accountable." And he fell down dead. His wife comes in 3 hours later and they ask her the same thing. And yes, that's what they sold it for. And then Peter says to him again, "Because you have agreed together to deceive not us, but the Holy Spirit." And she fell down dead. You see this, when there's intent to deceive, it's a lie. I'm not talking about not telling everything you know. Because there are cases it doesn't matter what all you know. But when you intentionally leave something out to deceive somebody into believing that you're something or you're saying something that is not, that's a lie. I had to think about the social media today and how you, Facebook, I might as well name one of them at least. You go on Facebook and you see these pictures of people and it's like, I know they don't look like that. That guy has a belly. He had a belly. He had a tummy tuck when he put that picture up. I know. You can see that. Or they turn sideways a little bit so you just get the good angle. You know what I'm saying? It's intended to deceive. Or you see pictures of someone on vacation and they only show from here up and because they don't want to show what they're wearing. Satan is the father of all lies. John 8:44-45. "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer, and from the beginning, and abode not in the earth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." First John 2:15-16, and primarily verse 15, tells us how the world lives. "And it lives by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the lust of the flesh that man can do, if he does this, the lust of the flesh is this: if you do this, you'll be happy. If you eat this, you'll be happy. If you fulfill this desire of the flesh, you'll be happy." It's lies from the pits of hell. Because if you eat everything that you desire to, guess what? You might be on my 600-pound life show. Is it good for you? Food is good. Yes, it is. But there's a desire that has to be brought in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking about food. Don't get hung up. I use that as an example. But the lust of the flesh. Man, if I can do this, I'll just be happy. The lust of the eyes. If I could just have this. I saw a pickup last night, a GMC blue. It was a pretty blue. It had the chrome around it, you know. But my Chevy's good. It's fine. Not a problem with it. It works good. It drives good. There's nothing wrong with it. But boy, the sparkle of that thing, it was like it caught my eye. It was attractive. If I could just have this, then I'd be happy. No, you won't be. You won't be. You won't be happy. The lust of the eyes. The pride of life. If I could just be recognized for this. If I could just be recognized, or if I could get a good position, then I'd be happy. Lies. They're all lies. They're all lies. God has given you everything that you need. He has given you everything. I assure you this morning, God has given you everything that you need. And when there's things that our eyes start looking after and going after, then it becomes, we're looking for the pride of life. I'll be satisfied if I just could get this position or if I could get this recognition. and it's the pride of life. It's what makes the world tick. It really is what makes the world tick. Truth-telling is a defining characteristic of the new man. Truth-telling, we looked at the old man, but truth-telling is a defining characteristic of the new man. When you find somebody, it's refreshing. When you know that you can trust that they are telling the truth. When you know that that you can trust that what you see is what you get. It's refreshing. It's a defining characteristic of the man of God and the woman of God, is that they are truth tellers. 1 John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and that hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. We are in him that is true." Do you get that? He is truth. He's referred to in Scripture many times as being true. He is true. When we're in him, we will be true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. I need to move ahead here a little quicker. The church is all about truth. Stop lying. And this, I am here not to scold you this morning. This is to call you to look at the written word, to look at the scripture, to look what it says. I have no one in mind. God laid this on my heart to share with you. If we're going to be members one of another, then we need to put away lying completely. And we need to be the first. The fish on the left is the real blowfish. That guy over there is puffed up. You see the difference in the two? This is who he really is. That's what he's presenting. Can you cut off your arm and not hurt yourself? Can you poke out your eye and not hurt yourself? No, every part is interconnected. Every part is interconnected. Put away lying. Speak the truth with one another. Because what? Because we are members one of another. The church is supposed to be a place where we can have true fellowship. And if we are just sort of dealing with it, that's not real fellowship. The church is a place where we are to have true fellowship. True fellowship. If we are just putting up with it and going along, that's not based on truth. The world manipulates. The church is based on truth. The world covers itself for itself. The church is based on truth. The world pulls strings, but the church is based on truth. The world exaggerates, but the church is based on truth. If you're here this morning and you know that you struggle with being truthful, then put away lying. And the help of the Holy Spirit, you can. And if you're here this morning, as I shared earlier, and you have not accepted the Lord as your Savior, the altar is open as we stand together and sing, and you can stand for a closing prayer at this time. The church is all about truth. It's all about truth. And so this morning, as we've looked at the Scripture, as we've read the Scripture, and I'll read again one more time, Ephesians 4:25, therefore. Why is it therefore? Because we're new people. We are in Christ Jesus. We are now part of the family of God. Putting away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And that neighbor doesn't mean your neighbor across the street. It means the body of Christ, your neighbor. Speak truth with him, and you will find a blessing in it. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, for your the privilege that we have to look into the written word, the holy word. And I thank you, Lord, for the one another's that you have placed in this book and this this guide that you have given to all of us. Lord, I pray for understanding of the word. I pray for understanding of the places where we are being deceitful. Lord, I pray that we would be able to be truthful and that we would be able to be the people that would reflect the characteristic of you in such a way that when we are laid to rest, they will be able to say, she truly or he truly was a child of God. I pray this morning, Lord, for each of us, recognizing that there are so many different walks of life that we come from families, from work situations and all those things, Lord. I pray that in all these areas with church, that we would be truthful, and that we would live truth and that we would speak truth. So, Father, we open ourselves up to you this morning to be led by you, to be purified by you, to live and be what we are in you. So, Father, this morning I pray for your guidance, for your Spirit's guidance. And Lord, as we go out from this place, that we would be able to demonstrate to the world that we truly are your children by the way we live. Father, I pray for strength to stand up in the times that we're faced with the decision whether or not to be untruthful in what we're doing. So, Father, we give this here morning to you. We give the message to you. Give this congregation to you this morning, Lord. And I pray your blessing upon it. And I pray, Father, that we would continue to grow, to become more and more like you in everything that we do and everything that we say. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the chorister to come and lead us in song.